Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pellegrini Financial Investment Planning Council fourth quarter conference call, year-end cheers or jeers. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Ryan Morcom. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and welcome everyone this morning to our fourth quarter conference call here, and a little chilly morning here in Red Deer. Kind of a chilly quarter in the fourth quarter of 2018. Just going back a little bit, I guess the 2018 year as a whole generally was good through the first three quarters and up to the end of September. And then on this fourth quarter, well, that's where the real volatility hit, of course. And through the month of October alone, we went certainly from a positive market environment for the year to a negative. Had a bit of a bounce in November, but once again in December, things turned south again, where pretty much the market lows were right before Christmas or Christmas Eve, and ended the year, of course, in a negative position. And through the year, of course, we had a lot more volatility from start to finish. And I think a few things where that impacted the market in general were specific probably to two main things I'm going to say. One was global trade concerns, which global trade, of course, just the trade wars in general, whether that's between Canada and U.S. or U.S. and China and other regions. At the end of the day, a lot of these trade wars, of course, are inflicting tariffs on each other as well at the same time, as we are to the U.S. and vice versa. So that certainly has a negative connotation to the business market and certainly the markets in general. And the other concern, I think, that was perhaps even more prominent was the direction of interest rates. And we'll touch on those again here later, too. But interest rates, of course, the concern to the markets at the time was how far and how fast interest rates would be moving up. And, you know, of course, there's a few corrections or through a few rate adjustments throughout the year. And that, I think, wore on the markets in general through that fourth quarter. And, of course, as you get some momentum going in a certain direction, well, that kind of builds on itself because, as a whole, we probably view the market as being oversold through the fourth quarter. And certainly that's kind of how it was expressed to different clients as we talked to through the month of December. But it doesn't make you feel any better. At the end of the day, it's an oversold market. And we had corrections probably close to 20% on some of those indexes themselves, not the portfolios, but certainly in the certain market indexes, you had almost corrections up to 20% here, which to some respect is a good, healthy breather to the markets. Probably the last similar correction we had was end of 2015, early 2016. I think the only difference there is it kind of crossed over a year end, so statement reporting, it probably didn't seem as bad or look as bad or feel as bad. This one happened all the way till the end of the year, and that's where things then turned around. So certainly that fourth quarter was a tough one for markets in general and for our portfolios. And I would say when we look at each market in general. So Canada, of course, still, I mean, the energy market was one that suffered some more pain, I guess, through that year and into the end of the year. Lower growth concerns in Canada has also fed into the negativity of the market. U.S., probably the technology sector was probably the hardest hit through that fourth quarter. Again, that's been probably the strongest performing sector, but through that fourth quarter was probably where they've seen a little bit of corrections there in some of those big name technology companies. You know, it's still a robust, growing economy in the U.S. and, you know, lots of strong job growth. Again, the trade war probably is still what holds, parts of that market back for the time being. Europe, of course, had slowing growth through the last part of the year. Still positive, but definitely a slower growth. And part of the, I guess, concern to the markets there, and certainly more so today as well, is the Brexit and what happens with England trying to divest itself out of the European Union. And, of course, that is still ongoing as well. The probably Asian economies are one where, you know, you still had actually similar growth as it had throughout the course of the year. again, it really got swept up into the negativity of the fourth quarter of the markets in general, because there really wasn't an asset class that didn't feel some negativity in that quarter. And international and emerging markets were probably ones that were harder hit as well, based on the fact that, again, growth prospects haven't really changed there. It's just that those tend to be the first markets that get impacted by emotion. And right, and a lot of that emotion in the fourth quarter, you know, some of them is justified perhaps, but a lot of it was overblown. So we'll come back to some of these outlooks here at the end here, but going on to interest rates, I think that's where, like I said, some of the market downfall was certainly driven by interest rates. Like I said, how far, how fast they went. And I wanted to say that the view of the 2018 calendar year, I would say, was the year of tightening, I guess, in some respects for all these central banks, Federal Reserve banks across the globe. And so we've seen most central banks either trying to raise interest rates, which, of course, in Canada, we had a couple times. In the U.S., it's probably four times. I think we had rate increases. But also at the same time, they were also reducing their balance sheets or pulling the fiscal stimulus out of the general economy that they had flooded with following the 2008-09 financial crisis. And so that really combination is what drove the markets to some volatility through the fourth quarter and led to some extra concerns there. But interest rates, I think now, for the most part, especially in the U.S., they're probably feeling that they're more normalized, or at least on the lower end of that normalized rate pattern that they'd want to get to, or range. In Canada, I think they would probably wish it to be perhaps a little bit higher, but I think they're happy to have had a few rate increases to give them some room there to maneuver if and when the recession comes in the future. Then they got some leeway to deal with interest rates, reducing it and encouraging growth. I think in Canada in particular, the issue with raising interest rates any further would be the level of household consumer debt. And that would be a concern, I think, that would hold them back or at least slow down any rate increases they might be thinking of. In that regard, how that impacts inflation. Inflation, of course, is something where interest rates are used to keep inflation in check. Inflation at this point, again, I think is in the lower end of most central banks' ranges of where they want to see it. So you want some, obviously, positive inflation numbers, but within a range where it's manageable for the economy. And right now, I think they're still in that lower range, which they're quite comfortable with. And inflation generally hasn't been an issue over the last number of years. I think we've seen a few more metrics perhaps behind pushing inflation upwards. And I think two things I'll just touch on just as a comment. I think from a macro global perspective, the one way you kind of see inflation change or impact the world is how you see inflation change in container shipments, right? Global container shipments is one metric to say, well, that infiltrates down to the base economies for wherever you are around the world. And global container shipments, we've seen, I guess, so far, spot prices and short-term lease rates increase. Also, the global shipping costs and the change of their maritime fuel issues and stuff like that, which is separate altogether. But that's increasing costs as well, which at the end of the day gets passed down to the consumer. And I would say specifically more localized in the U.S. in particular, they've probably seen the first signs of wage growth inflation, which wage growth is something where, of course, as an employee, you want to see some wage growth because you want to see increased earnings. And that been a bit of a conundrum for the last few years because we haven't really seen wage growth accelerate the way you would have expected for the level of employment that's happened. Again, especially more so in the U.S. than Canada. But finally, they're starting to see a little bit of pressures on wage growth increasing, and again, that has a direct impact to inflation. because employment numbers as a whole, again, it's been record growth. Well, I shouldn't say record growth, but strong growth numbers in the U.S. to start this year in 2019. Canadian growth is still positive. Again, we probably don't feel or see that as much in Alberta locally, but in Canada as a whole, we have seen continued growth in employment too. Commodity-wise, just to touch on that, again, specific to oil and gas, of course, for hitting close to home here. Of course, natural gas hasn't moved much over the last few years, so it's still cheap, a cheap source of energy, which is good for households. Oil, of course, certainly saw more volatility through the years, so we had seen oil move up to in the 70s range, and now it's back down through the lower 50s here for Western Texas Intermediate. Probably the bigger change that, just to touch on oil for the pricing discount to Alberta, of course, which is hitting home for us, the Western Canada Select discount, which was pretty substantial through the early part of the summer in particular. And, of course, the Alberta government enacted some mandatory production cuts based on the size of your operation, of course, in Alberta. And that did a lot to reduce that discount. You always have a discount to some degree. But that discount now generally was around $10. It was a little bit more, a little bit less. And that was far better than the $40, $50 discount that we were incurring here earlier in the summertime. So with WTI between the $50, $55 range and our Western Canada Select now at a $10 discount more or less, that has helped certainly in the short term. Of course, that's with enacting some production cuts, which they've alleviated some of that here just recently. And I'm sure if they can keep working it to alleviate more and more through the course of the year, they'd be certainly happy to. And that would get our oil and gas sector probably on a bit stronger footing at the same time. The problem, of course, with the oil market in general is the U.S. is now a big supplier to the global market. And they are actually now leading the leading country for oil production or daily oil production. And that's not changing anytime soon. The shale supply is ample down there, and they are certainly pumping a lot out from those shale supplies throughout the U.S. So while the demand of oil and gas is growing or demand of energy is growing, it's incremental in comparison to the growth or supply of oil in the marketplace. And so that makes it a tough headway for oil and gas and the oil market in general, especially when you have generally across the board slowing economies. Right? We've had some good growth over the last number of years, but they have generally slowed down across the board. So that'll be a bit of a struggle for oil and gas going forward still. Now the metals, you know, gold finally saw some movement here this past year, which really hasn't done anything since 2011. And that's partly, I think, because of the negativity, of course, in the fourth quarter, and really, again, found its way as being a bit more of a safe haven in times of turmoil. And so you've seen gold bump up a little bit. Base metals, not so much, and not a whole lot of change into your iron ores and nickels and so on. Currency-wise, we had a weaker dollar through the last half of the year, for sure, in Canadian versus U.S., so we saw basically our hedge positions in our portfolio was actually increased through that fourth quarter. And I suspect now in the first quarter of this year, and just touching on that quickly, is could we see any good change in the Canadian dollar versus the U.S.? And that is kind of atypical for January, for start of the year, for some reason or not. But so we've had a strong start to the Canadian dollar this year, but I would not expect that to last necessarily. The U.S., of course, is still the strongest dollar and shows that across the board. And for the most part, I think most economies are still trying to not necessarily devalue their currencies because it does, you know, a lower currency does improve your own local trade. But seeing the Japanese yen or the Chinese won or the euro, for the most part, just hold their own. Like I said, everyone's kind of second fiddle to the U.S. dollar, which is the dominant currency still in the world markets. In general, just as a quick synopsis here of where we stand currently, like I said, the start of the year here has been quite positive in both the markets. currency with the Canadian dollar. I think the markets in general has been so far led by the Canadian market, and part of that, you know, we've seen a bit of a rebound in some energy stocks, which I think reflects a little bit of the discount that's been kind of removed, or at least reduced. And like I said, improving, you know, supply chains that are slowly grinding down our oversupply here in Alberta. So that's helping. But yes, definitely the energy sector was probably leading the Canadian market here this first month of the year. And the Canadian market in general has been leading the leading index, I guess, globally. But we've seen growth in, of course, the U.S. and in the Asian markets, a little bit in Euro, but and certainly the international markets have rebounded. Not that they've changed economically, it's just, again, that feeling of confidence, and people tend to jump back into those kind of markets where in times of turmoil you want to get out of quickly. Whether there's anything wrong with those markets or not, you just want to back out of those. So the outlook is so far pretty good in the markets, and look at the U.S., like I said, strong growth numbers in the first month of the year, and again, positive GDP that we've seen throughout most global economies. Europe, I'm going to say, is a little slower, and we're probably starting to see a little bit of maybe recessionary numbers in Italy. Germany is treading water probably at best at the moment, and so we'll see how that plays out through the course of the year, but generally, it's expected that that global growth is continuing to be positive throughout pretty much most economies, and that's good. Like I said, I think the biggest thing that will change is the tightening of the Federal Reserve and central banks across the globe. I don't expect that to be much of a factor in 2019. Like I said, I think they did their heavy lifting in 2018. And now it's a lot more data dependent, meaning that if they feel that they need to raise rates based on the data they see, they will do so. If the data doesn't support it, then they won't be raising rates. And that seems to be the I guess, current trade that everyone's expecting or playing by. So as a whole, we see markets for the current year being on, I think, a steady pace of positive growth. Like I said, we had a good start to the year. I expect this to tail off a little bit here. And, you know, I would think that we'll have a little less volatility perhaps than in 2018. Because I think there's a bit more certainty in different things without throughout the globe and interest rates and so on. Again, the only issue outstanding truly is trade wars and what happens with, you know, any agreements that are come to or not agreed to, or tariffs that might remain in place or become worse. And that's probably the one big factor that will impact how markets fare in 2019. But so far, like I said, off to a good start. So if you have any questions, certainly feel free to call in to the office and speak to Perry or Parker or myself, and certainly be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you for joining us here today. This is our fourth quarter conference call, and looking forward to a positive and healthy 2019. Bye for now.